As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, a glorious throne exalted from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. The Torah also explains the difference between Shiloh and Shalim, namely that the Beis HaMikdash in Shalim corresponded to the Beis HaMikdash on high. Like the earth which he founded forever refers to the foundation stone in the Beis HaMikdash upon which Hashem established the world. Another interpretation says that the Pasuk refers to David HaMelech as if he built his sanctuary, because he received permission from great people, that is the Navi Shemuel, the heights to build the Beis HaMikdash. It is ascribed to him, in fact, he only laid its foundations. Like the earth, he founded it forever. He built the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash in accordance with the earth. Like the heights refers to Avram, who built an altar on the same site. Avram was of a high family. Then again, the Beis HaMikdash stood in correspondence with the Beis HaMikdash on high, in the sense that it matched its stature. Like the earth, he founded it forever. Thus it says, this is my resting place forever. The holy Beis HaMikdash was like the heights, rather than the heights themselves. It was not actually built on the highest peak, but somewhat below. The singer depicts the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash in its intrinsic quality and its long existence. Regarding its quality, he says that he built his sanctuary like the heights. It resembled supernal existences, as in the case of the Mishkan. This is alluded to in the description of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash and of its detailed parts. Regarding its endurance, he says, like the earth, he founded it forever. It was meant to last forever, but the sins of the people caused its destruction. Like the earth, he founded it forever. The Shekhinah never departed from the western wall. Pasuk 70, Vayivchar b'David avdo vayikochehu mimichlok os tzon. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. Having said that he chose the tribe of Yehuda, the Torah goes on to say here that he chose David, his servant. He chose this very special individual from the tribe of Yehuda to be his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds, the sheep corrals, where the sheep are kept safe. That is, he chose his servant David forever. No other kings should reign in Shalim except for him and his descendants after him. Pasuk 71. Me'achar olos hevio liros b'Yaakov amo Yisrael nachaloso. From following the nursing ooze, he brought him to be shepherd of Yaakov, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Female sheep, when nursing or when still carrying their young inside, are called olos. Out of weakness, they tramp last, and the shepherd walks behind them. By patient urging, one by one, he huddles them together. David was this kind of compassionate shepherd. Out of concern for the nursing and the pregnant ewes, he took them out to gaze first. Then came the turn of the goats, followed by the lambs, and only then came the big rams. The singer's purpose here is to explain two things about David, where he came from and why he was chosen. Regarding the first, he says, from following the nursing ewes, he brought them to be shepherd of Yaakov, his people. This stresses that he did not find them among the strong, but among the weakest of his flock that required careful handling. This conveys that a king should not draw the strong near and keep the weak far from him. It should be the other way around, in emulation of Hashem's way, as it says. Thus says the High and the Lofty One that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell on high and in the holy place, yet with him also who is of a contrite and humble spirit, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Inasmuch as David had to reign over two parts of the Jewish people, individuals of stature as well as the masses, the Torah says to be shepherd of Yaakov, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. The appellation Israel designates a higher status than the appellation Yaakov. Others say David would shepherd with tenderness his father's nursing ewes. First, he would let out the goats to eat the soft top layer of the upper grass, and then he would let the rams graze on the middle grass, followed by the old sheep who ate the grass roots. Whereupon Hashem said, "This one is fit to shepherd my people." From following the nursing ooze, at a slow pace. Similarly, it says he will gently lead the nursing ewes, a pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. And Yaakov too said, and the flocks and the herds that nurse are a care for me. Ulos Olai, pasuk found in Chumash Bereishis. Hashem saw that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed and the Jewish people would go into Golus, where they would need compassionate leadership. So he chose a compassionate herder of sheep as their king, one who had shown compassion for his flock. David would be the compassionate guide of Israel, both during the time of their exile and in messianic times. Hence the singer says here, to be shepherd of Yaakov in our time, and Israel be his inheritance in the days of the Mashiach. Indeed, it was so. He herded them according to the integrity of his heart in the present, and led them by the skill of his hands in the future of the Mashiach. Leadership, we're going to learn this exactly, this pasuk, very soon, next pasuk. Leadership of the people is likened to herding sheep. However, one must distinguish between a shepherd who herds for pay and one who herds for no pay. Thus David herded his father's flock, and he did everything in his power to promote their well-being. A leader of the people must devote himself to caring for their needs without thought of personal advantage. Accordingly, Hashem chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes. For David gave everything he had for the sake of his flock. As the Torah says in Shmuel Aleph, he killed the lion and the bear that came to devour the flock. David was the loving shepherd, concerned only for the welfare of his sheep, and therefore Hashem chose him to be the shepherd of his holy flock, to be the shepherd of Yaakov, for Yaakov too was a herder of sheep who handled the nursing ewes with compassion. As he said to Esav, the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds that nurse are a care for me. As we find this in the Chumash Bereishis, David HaMelech was an example for many that a king must exercise care not to violate the rights of others. Thus our Chachamim say, Hashem does not confer high position on the person unless he has first tested him in small things. Behold, these two world personalities, Moshe and David HaMelech, whom Hashem tested in the small matter and raised them to greatness only after he had found them to be faithful. He tested David by means of his flock. To avoid committing theft, David would lead his sheep far away into the wilderness, send and fetch them lest they graze on other people's property. David herded the sheep, not the cattle, in accordance with the prohibition to raise large cattle in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said of him, you have been found faithful with the sheep. Now come herd my flock. As it says here, from following the nursing ewes, he brought him. Similarly, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, and he led the flock far away into the wilderness, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos, in order to avoid theft. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him. Some explain that this refers to David personally, that he was very young when anointed to kingship, as it says, and David was the little one. It's found in Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk 72. Vayirem kesom levavo uvis. Vunos kapav yanchem. So he herded them according to the integrity of his heart and led them by the skill of his hands. He herded them according to the integrity of his heart, that is for their benefit rather than his own. He did not weigh them down with his yoke. On occasion one must show justified anger, but only outwardly. Inwardly one must be wholehearted. As the Torah says, better is anger than gaiety, a pasuk that's found in Kehelet. When, if through a face saddened, the heart is gladdened, the anger should not impair goodness of the heart. He herded them according to the integrity of his heart, wholeheartedly and without cunning. He conducted no intrigues to gain the throne. Moreover, he led them by the skill of his hands. For this reason, Hashem granted him success in all his ways. Led them by the skill of his hands, sometimes the rod must be used on the sheep, but David guided them by the skill of his hands, with knowledge and understanding. Similarly, the pasuk says, he caused his hands to be wise. Pasuk is found in the Chumash Bereishis. by the skill of his hands, just as a shepherd holds a rod in his hands and by using it guides the flock. So David knew to lead the people. He personally would lead them. He did not pass on leadership of the people to others. Led them by the skill of his hands, his leadership was informed by the perfection of his opinions and by the perfection of his character. Even as he was accomplished in these two aspects, so was he accomplished at ruling the country. He passed through 10 trials and troubles that refined his personal traits. He also knew that a man's way is not his own, the pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu, but that everything is in the hand of Hashem. A subtle interpretation says, and led them by the skill of his hands, alludes to the trait of humility to be learned from the fingers. When the palm is extended flat, one finger is large and another is small, but when it is bent, they are all equal. The present psalm recounts all this about David in order to instruct us. Let us not adhere to the deeds of our forefathers who sinned, but cleave to the deeds of David, who merited kingship due to the integrity of his way. Now we come to chapter 79, Pasuk 1. Mizmor la'asav alehim bo'u goyim b'nachlusecha timu es heichal kotshecha samu es Yerushalayim le'iyim. A psalm of Asav, of Hashem. The nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have made Yerushalayim into heaps of rubble. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit of prophecy, Asaph composed this psalm about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. In anguish, he asked Hashem to avenge the destruction of his house and the extermination of his people. At the outset, he poses a question. O Hashem, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. How did you acquiesce that the nations should come into the holy city? They have made Yerushalayim into heaps of rubble. The destroyed city has become mounds of stones. The Medrash says, why has he uttered a psalm, a song of praise? Is it not rather an occasion for weeping? The answer is that the righteous pay their debt and chant songs of praise to Hashem. Compare it to a king whose difficult son would not obey his father. What did the father do? In anger, he entered his son's wedding chamber and began tearing, cutting, and demolishing everything. The chamber was turned into a heap of refuse. Then he drove out the son. Have I not done a fine thing? The king exclaimed. I have torn apart my son's wedding chamber, and now I can rebuild it. I can make it more beautiful than it was before. But if I had killed him in my rage, my brother's son would have succeeded me. Is it not better that my own son should succeed me? Similarly, Asaph said, is this not a fine thing that Hashem has done? He has expanded his anger upon wood and stone, and not upon his children. Thus it says, Hashem has exhausted his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger, as found in Megillas Eicha. How he has kindled a fire in Sion, and has devoured the foundations. Asaph therefore chanted a psalm. Consider the following parable. The daughter of a poor man went to fill her bucket with water from the well, but the rope broke and her earthenware bucket fell into the well. The poor girl wept and lamented. Then a princess came to fill her golden bucket with water, and her bucket also fell into the well. The poor man's daughter began to rejoice and dance. He who brings up the golden bucket of the princess, she said, will also bring up my earthenware bucket. Asaph was glad when he foresaw that the gates of Yerushalayim will be sunk. Thus it says, her gates are sunk into the ground, for he saw that in the future the gates will once more rise up from the ground. Hashem will also raise up Korach, the father of his father. The Talmud relates that Rabbi Abu had a son, Abimi, whom he praised as having truly fulfilled the commandment to honor one's parent. Rabbi Abu had five sons, all of whom received rabbinic ordination during his lifetime. But he only praised Rabbi Abimi this way. Whenever Rabbi Abu would come to his son's door and call out, Rabbi Abimi would rush to open it, all the while calling out, yes, yes, until he reached the door. On one occasion, Rabbi Abu asked him to bring water, and fell asleep before Rabbi Abimi came back. Upon waking, he found his son standing bent over him, holding the water, waiting for him to wake up. The Talmud relates further that the Rabbimi expounded on the Pasuk, a psalm of Asaph, O Hashem, the nations have come into your inheritance. He noted that Asaph should have uttered a lament, but instead he offered praise that Hashem had expended his wrath on wood and stone. This assured the survival of a remnant of Israel. Tosfos explains that Rabbimi merited to understand this psalm because he fulfilled the mitzvah of honoring his father. He felt compassion for his forefathers who were swallowed up by the gullus, and he perceived that they would yet return to the Holy Land. Some explain that Asaph alludes to the distress brought upon the Jewish people by the Greeks. They defiled his sanctuary and had so befouled the stones of the altar that it was hidden away in the days of the Hashmonaeans and a new one built. They have made Yerushalayim into heaps of rubble, and it became impossible to bury the dead, for the enemy patrolled around about Yerushalayim. The singer laments for three things. He foresaw that the enemy would come into the land of Israel, and he mourned over this unbelievable tragedy. Thus he says, O Hashem, the nations have come into your inheritance. O Hashem, you who rule from on high over all things, how could these primitive and despicable peoples have come into your inheritance where you performed all those miracles? Secondly, he laments that the enemy entered the inner sanctuary where no stranger was allowed to be present, not even the Jew. Thus it says, they have defiled your holy temple. Merely by entering it, they had defiled it. Then once inside, they also committed abominations. Thirdly, they destroyed Yerushalayim and made it into heaps of rubble. Alternatively, this refers to the enemy having said at the time, a city which has suffered such devastation can never again be restored. It will remain heaps of rubble forever. Just as the Pasuk says in the Chumash Devarim, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. The singer's lament mourns for the three excellent gifts that had been bestowed upon the Jewish people: children, the divine presence, and the Holy Land. Corresponding to children, it says, nations have come into your inheritance, which refers to Klal Yisrael. They have defiled your holy temple, which is Hashem's abode. They have made Yerushalayim, the principal part of the land of Israel, into heaps of rubble. When the nations entered the holy Beis HaMikdash below, it was as if they had entered the supernal Yerushalayim and defiled it. They brought ruin and desolation to the supernal Yerushalayim. Thus it says, Hashem will not enter Yerushalayim on high until he has entered Yerushalayim below. This also alludes to what the enemies of the Jewish people will do in the future when they march against Yerushalayim. It is related that when at first the gates of Yerushalayim were not open before them, the Babylonians brought 300 camels laden with iron keys, and all the keys were swallowed up by the outer doors of the Beis HaMikdash. But then a wicked Israelite slaughtered a pig and sprayed its blood upon the Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash was defiled, its gates flew open and the Nebuchadnezzar entered. Thus the Torah says here, the nations have come into your inheritance. How could this happen? For they have defiled your holy temple. The nations have come into your inheritance when the non-Jews daringly entered into your inheritance, into the Beis HaMikdash, the most sacred of all sites. Their very success informed them that no one was at home. The Shekhinah had departed, whereupon they dared go further, and they have defiled your holy temple, Beis HaMikdash. They befouled the inner sanctuary. Thus our sages explain, the adversary has spread out his hand upon all her desirable things. A pasuk that's found in Megillas Eicha. Abominable nations, nations of whom you said they may not come into the congregation, they were not acceptable as converts, now entered the sanctuary. Pasuk base. Nosnu es nivlas avadecho macho leof hashemayim v'sar chasidecho lechayuso oretz. They have given the dead bodies of your servants to be food to the fowl of the heaven, the flesh of his saintly ones to the beast of the earth. Following his lament over the destruction of the city and the defiling of Hashem's temple of Gilead in the previous pasuk, the singer now laments the killing of his saintly servants. This causes Hashem's name to be profaned. They have given the dead bodies of your servants to be food to the fowl of the heaven. The dead were left unburied. Many saintly individuals served Hashem in Yerushalayim. Among them were the craftsmen and the smiths, as found in Melachim Beis, who were killed and left unburied. This was an aspect of the general curse that descended upon Yerushalayim. Thus Yirmiyahu says, run to and fro to the streets of Yerushalayim, and see now and know, and seek in its broad places, if you can find a man, if there be any that does justice, that seeks the truth. This is a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. He refers to the marketplaces and the streets where falsehood and fraud were rampant. The saintly people kept to their homes and occupied themselves with the Torah. The singer laments over the dead bodies of your servants who remained unburied. Then he goes on to lament over the fact that they have shed their blood like water around about Yerushalayim, which seems in the wrong order. Let him first say that the enemy shed their blood, and then mention that the enemy prevented their burial. The answer is this: the enemy did not bury the dead. As it is forbidden for a corpse to be left overnight in Yerushalayim, the people themselves would move the corpses outside the city for burial. There they were attacked and killed by the enemy. The following pasuk thus refers to those who were killed later outside the city walls. Thus it says in the curses, I will send the pestilence among you, and you will be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Pasuk that's found in the Chumash Vayikra. On account of the dead caused by the pestilence whom you will remove outside the city walls, you will be handed over into the hand of the enemy to be killed. They have given the dead bodies of your servants to be food to the fowl of the heaven. The first man, Adam, learned about burial from the fowl when he saw a crow kill another crow and then buried in the ground. Here it is conveyed that the birds devoured the human remains. Man is the higher creation, the creature imbued with speech, but he became the food of fowl. This also alludes to the Kohanim, the priests, who went up on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash and hurled themselves to their deaths. They are called your servants because they served Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. Now their dead bodies became food to the fowl of the heaven. The Levim are your saintly ones, as it says, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saintly ones shout with joy. Now their flesh was given as food to the beast of the earth. Regarding the Jews, neither priest nor Levim, the singer goes on to say, they have shed their blood like water around about Yerushalayim, with none to bury them. Pasagimu. Shavchu damam kamayim sivivos Yerushalayim be'en kover. They have shed their blood like water round about Yerushalayim, with none to bury them. This is what we said before, but now we're learning the pasuk. The cruel and barbaric enemy have shed their blood without feeling like water. It was to them like spilling water. Contrast with Israel's conduct. The book of Yechezkel describes how the Jewish people will deal respectfully with the dead of the nations killed in the war of Gog and Magog. The Chachamim explained they have given the flesh of your saintly ones to the beast of the earth. They would not even permit burial of the bones. The singer's lament refers to the contrasting teaching of the Torah. Who hunts game of any beast or bird, he shall even pour out its blood and cover it with dust, as found in Chumash Vayikra. By contrast here, they have shed their blood like water round about Yerushalayim, with none to bury them. One part of the pasuk explains the other part. Because in that future time they will shed their blood like water round about Yerushalayim, the people will not dare venture out again to bury them. No one will be prepared even to bury the blood, which will be treated like water. What a horrible degradation this is, especially when perpetuated against the Jewish people who treat the dead with respect and practice the kindness of providing for their burial. This also alludes to the dead of Alexandria in Egypt, whom Hadrian killed in the valley Yadayim. It is related that three rivers of blood flowed from the valley Yadayim into the Mediterranean. Others say that for 7 years the heathens fertilized their vineyards with the blood of Israel. The same thing also was true of the dead of Beitar and the ghastly visitation of the Holocaust in our generation. How many rivers of blood were shed of the millions of Jewish lives, men, women, and children, killed by the cursed Nazis and their helpers. May their names perish. There was none to bury them. Pasuk Dalet. Hayinu cherpa l'shcheinenu lag v'keles l'sviv oseinu. We have become a disgrace to our neighbors. a scorn and a derision to those around about us. The people of Israel became a disgrace in the sight of their neighbors, who dwelt in the lands bordering the land of Israel. They were a mockery to those around about us, who lived farther away. Possibly the pasuk alludes to the peoples they passed on their way into captivity. Ever since the destruction of the Holy Beis Hamikdash, the source of honor and splendor for the Jewish people, we have become a disgrace to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those around about us. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5, Admor Hashem Tenaf Lenetzach Tivar Kemo Eish Kin Osecha. How long, O Hashem, will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? With an aching heart for the long gullus that awaits the Jewish people, the singer says, how long, O Hashem, will you be angry? Will your anger continue forever? How long still will your jealousy, your indignation at our sins, burn like fire? Some say that the psalm refers to the first exile. Although the Babylonian exile only lasted 70 years in the eyes of the exiles themselves, that was still too long. Thus the prophet Zechariah says, how long will you not have mercy on Yerushalayim, against which you have raged these 70 years? Pasuk that's found in Zechariah. Another interpretation says, the singer cries out, how long, O Hashem, will you be angry? Forever, I know that your vengeance and your fury are preserved for them forever, in the world to come. There the reward and the punishment are forever. We look forward to seeing with our own eyes the punishment that will afflict them. Pasuk 6. Shfoch hamoscha lagoyim, pour out your wrath upon the nations that do not know you, and upon the kingdoms that do not call upon your name. Having spoken of the two calamities inflicted by the heathens, the destruction of the holy temple and the killing of the people of Israel, the singer says, pour out your wrath upon the nations that do not know you, and that do not care to honor you, and upon the kingdoms that do not call upon your name. They do not acknowledge you by the name God of Jacob. Thus it says, for your city and your people are called by your name, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Daniel. Would they acknowledge him by his name, they would not have done what they did, as the Torah goes on to explain. That do not call upon your name. In contrast, the Torah says about Avram and about Yitzchak, and he called in the name of Hashem, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. Unlike the others who endeavored to make known the greatness of Hashem to all men, these nations do not call upon your name, for they do not want to accept the burden of your kingship. As it says, Hashem shone from Seir to them. He appeared from Mount Poran, as found in Chumash Devarim, but they declined to accept the Torah. Thus it also says, like those over whom you never ruled, who were not called by your name, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Concerning their deeds, their conquests of Yerushalayim, and the destruction of the Jewish people, they did not call upon your name. Rather, they said, the land has not done all this, a pasuk found in Chumash Devarim. In a similar sense, they did not bring this destruction upon Israel because of your decree, but due to their own savagery. This pasuk may be also clarified by means of a parable. A criminal attacked a passerby, struck him, wounded him, and robbed him of his money. When brought to trial, he argued that the man he attacked was the son of an important minister of state. He saw the man insult his father, and he had struck him out of concern for the father's honor. If you only acted out of zeal for the father's honor, the accused was challenged, why did you also rob the man's money? The same holds true of our enemies. Should they contend that they distressed the Jewish people because Hashem condemned them to be exiled in expiation for their sins, they are told, if your zeal for God's glory had been genuine, you would not have committed these two evils. You both devoured Yaakov and laid waste his habitation, as we learn in the next pasuk. Through special taxation and arbitrary decrees, the enemies plundered the Jews' wealth and the products of their industry. Therefore, pour out your wrath upon them. Pour out your wrath upon nations that do not know you. Bring retribution upon them for denying divine providence and because they do not call upon your name. Punish them because they have devoured Yaakov. As the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Israel is holy to Hashem. The first fruit of his yield, all that devour him, will be held guilty. Pour out your wrath upon them for having defiled the holy base of Mikdash which bears your name. His habitation, as we'll learn in the next pasuk, is another expression of his name. Because they have devoured Yaakov and laid waste his habitation, the nations do not call upon the name of Hashem. So long as the base of Mikdash stood intact, the nations also called in the name of Hashem.